morning, everyone. All right, I'll try to talk a little bit louder because I notice we don't really have many people in the front that can hear, so we said good morning. All right, thankful that you made it here today, and most of the hands that I shook today are getting warmer as we take some time to let your hands cool off. We're here this morning to begin worship. We have our gentlemen in the corners. Well, you're over there anyway, so do we have any prayer requests or moments of joy that we need to celebrate by putting our hands in the air?
Uncle Cal. Kurt Bride, please. It's got some serious issues, and so I'd appreciate if everyone would keep him in your prayers, please, and also Ann Eileen. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
I think as you've read the news, law enforcement across the country, it's looks like the numbers are up again. It's been a horrid week. Two in Colorado, one in Georgia, and two yesterday in Ohio. So keep them in your prayers. Let's try and keep them safe.
Thank you, Gary. We hear that sometimes a little too often today, and we don't want our hearts and our souls to be numb to the fact that lives are changed and families and communities are forever impacted by these things. Anyone else? Oh, just a second. All right.
I have a Thanksgiving. My friend Marlene from St. Clair that I asked for prayers a few weeks back, I sent her a prayer shawl, and she said it is working to tell everybody here she really appreciates it. The lump on her gland has disappeared, and she can talk now. So.
All right.
Thank
Praise
you
the Lord,
prayer.
Yeah. We love to hear those updates, but we also really enjoy hearing an affirmation for the Prayer Shawl Ministry, so thank you for all of that. Yeah. Anyone else? No? Do we have any announcements that aren't printed on the bulletin today? Linda, you got one? 'Tis the season, right? There's a lot of things going on.
Linda's getting up there. I have an announcement. Duran Miller was supposed to do the fellowship today, and she's not well, so she called me this morning, and I drove 8 miles out on Walker and Isles when I my car drugged the whole way to pick up her stuff because she said, I got all this stuff. What am I going to do with it? So you better stay for fellowship. There's a lot of effort into that today.
So there may be to-go box options that that we want to observe if there's extra left over. Linda?
Okay, this is Linda again giving the Linton announcements. The good news is for the devotionals, all the people who signed up are now crossed out in yellow, which means the devotionals are in. We have enough to fill all the pages. Gail will be working hard today to get them all formatted. They'll be printed tomorrow morning, and they should be available for people attending the Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper and or those attending the prayer vigil. The prayer vigil isn't all signed up yet. About two-thirds of the slots are taken. I'm going to try passing it one more time around church. Some people have offered to take a second slot. It's okay to sign up for two slots, and we hope that will be filled, and so we're going to start it over. Oh, okay. So much for that idea. So we're hoping it gets filled up, that we can have it completely filled. And for those who may be concerned, there are going to be additional security measures in process for if there's a concern that way. We'll let you know individually when your slot comes up if there's anything you need to know about that. Thank you.
All right. Anything else? Okay, do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? You have a birthday? Oh, no, whoops. I'm sorry. Shell. Aaron's birthday is Saturday. Well, that's close enough to next week, so maybe when the weather's a little bit better, maybe we'll bring it back up and, yeah. We'll sing it real loud because it'll be with interest a little bit, yeah. So, anyone else for birthday? Do we have any anniversaries? No? Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and hand things over to our choir today as they begin and set a stage for us for worship in the sacred space. In that moment of prayer, and would you join me for the Lord's blessing over our gathering together today. Almighty God, today in this bitter cold and this fall of snow, Lord, we are few numbered here today in the sanctuary. But Lord, we know that you can do miraculous, world-changing things, life-giving things, with but few. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together today, that you provided us this safe place to gather and worship. And Lord, we would just ask that your Holy Spirit would be amongst us, that you arrive before us, and Lord, that you will still be present with us after. Please, Lord, guide our steps and take joy and be glorified in all that we say and do, whether it's words in song, in scripture, in message, or in prayer. Lord, we ask all these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. And this time, before we go any further on here, it is true that the Lord has done some miraculous things with few, but we'd also like to have a special moment today, given the weather, to welcome our radio listening audience, as they probably jumped up a little bit today, as there are several churches and things like that that had services canceled for time and weather and things like that. So welcome, if you're not a regular listener. We're thankful that you tuned us in today, and if you are, well, maybe you're in a warm place, snuggled up, ready to have worship with us today. Could you please stand if you're able, and as we find our standing, could we sing together the song of our faith, My Hope is Built, number 368, My Hope is Built.
Thank you.
may be seated. And as we find our seats, we'll sing this other song of our faith, just a few pages back, number 361, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Again, we can be seated, number 361, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Amen. Understanding our foundation and never walking too far away from that cornerstone is such a blessed reminder. Because of the weather and the children not being here today, we're not going to have the children's message in the Sunday school release. But the weather has taken away a few things from us today, but the weather has also brought to us a unique opportunity, a unique gift. The barbers are in service with us today. And they're both smiling because I say unique gift it is. We're thankful. We miss you when you're gone. We're thankful when you're here. And for this circumstance, we will still give praise that you're amongst us today. And I've asked Dale to come up and share with us a little bit because over this last year, we had a time of sharing our stories and those things. And so it is all last minute. So if there's a brief pause, Dale didn't have a whole lot of time. But Pastor Dale, would you come up with us today and share with us a little bit of what ministry looks like, how you've been sent from here, and how you serve from week to week?
I got a call from the head of my trustees in Minden City this morning by 8 o'clock. He goes, doesn't look good. And I says, thank you, Rudolph. And we call church there often. About an hour later, I called my Shibona church off also. So that's why I'm here. You know, there's something missing here, though, Matt.
Yeah.
You see, in my pulpits, I have candy down here.
Oh, come on.
There's no candy here.
Well, there was, but Russ,
But and it's interesting, Crystal pointed out that your opening hymn this morning was the same as mine. So got it anyway. But anyway, looking from the pews to the pulpit, it's a unique experience. It really is. You're serving people in a different way. You feel their hurt, you feel their pain. You're on call 24/7, I don't care how you cut it. I remember getting a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. One of my parishioners had passed away. And so I had to drive, go to Bad Axe. And you're on the go all the time. But it's a calling I would not give up. Even though I say I have to retire after 72, It's something that is so fulfilling that you can't imagine what it's like to be here after you've been there for so many years. I really don't know how to phrase it. But one thing is the same. I don't care what church you go into. Notice, everybody is sitting in the back. Now, why is that? Really? It was funny. We had, in my one church, we have chairs. We don't have pews. And so Chris and I went in there one day during the week, and we took out the last six rows. Okay? You're going to come up no matter what. That was fine for one Sunday. Next thing, all six rows were back. And so forth. And I told him, I said, I'm going to go to the sheriff and borrow some police line tape and tape off the back rows. Something. But it's just, I don't care where you go. It's the same way. But we're here to worship God. We're here to serve our risen Lord. And I don't care if you sit in the back pews, the front pews. It's the same way. It's good to be back just for this thing, to see people who I've known for years and to be among people where I got my start. And as a result, will you join me in the Lord's Prayer, please? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. You know, if Matt had given me, I got a sermon all done for today. I could have brought the sermon too. Actually, I've got two of them done because last week we didn't have anything in Minden City either. I'm all set for 2 weeks.
Thank you, Dale. Yeah.
I've noticed, especially this year since I've begun directing the choir, very often about 10% of the number of people in choir is the number of people in the congregation. So in the fall, we were having like 11 or 12 in choir. That meant we had probably 110 or 120 in church. And then as the snowbirds left and the weather got worse, last Sunday, if some of you are here, remember I said we had a quintet. And if you check the numbers in the bulletin, we had 54 on that snowy Sunday. And so today, as I was waiting for people to walk in to sing, we ended up with a quartet. And I'm thinking, I hope there's at least 40 up in church on this very snowy Sunday. And it's pretty close to being right. Luckily, I picked out a song that didn't have a whole lot of parts. It's the first time we've repeated an anthem this year. It's an anthem we sang the end of September that at that time I said, and I still believe it, that it ought to be a theme song of this congregation, because it's called Love Grows Here. Because love does grow in the congregation of a church. This is our church family. And the reason I picked it out as a repeat is because of love in the title, because this week being Valentine's Day. And if I faked anybody else out because I'm sitting at the opposite end of the choir, it's because luckily the soprano part isn't very high, and so I can double with Hannah, and Marion and Bill can hold their own. So we're going to sing to you, and listen to the words carefully, because love does really grow in this congregation. Thank you.
thankful for the ministry and the gifts that are always used in that message that we have. As the choir is finding their seats, I know I've shared this once, I believe, through all of our times together, but from the very first time that there's an introduction here at the church years ago, looking at the stained glass is one thing that we took in, and I'm sure there's probably some symbolic different reason, but whenever I hear something like that, and there's a message that has love in it, as Linda said, from Valentine's Day, it seems like we're reminded of the, or at least I'm reminded, of the bride, of a woman in a long red Cinderella-type dress. If you can see it, you can see the arms stretched out like that, and the blushed face, and the hair done up, and the dress flowing down, and those kind of things, and tapers all the way down. So it's interesting when we hear Love Grows Here, and we're reminded that our nature, our role is to be the bride of Christ, and to always look beautiful as the sun comes in there. So maybe some historians would be able to tell if that's not the case, but I think it's still a beautiful imagery. So if we get a chance to take that in, that's what we're reminded of there. We have an opportunity today to take a look at the New Testament reading and the Gospel according to Mark. And it's unique, again, for the times that we've studied in Mark, to remember that as far as length, Mark's Gospel account is the shortest, and often directly to the point. And so it's neat when we're looking at scripture memorization that Mark often takes the front run because there's less text to memorize. So taking a look at the message today, it's simply called calm. And so with things like today, I think, wouldn't you agree that there's a certain stress that comes when you're deciding, should I come to church today? Should I not come to church today? What's the weather going to be like? And those kind of things. So that's just a very practical moment for us in this season. But we are prepared. This is our last Sunday that we are together before we start our Lenten journey together. And so it's significant that we are preparing ourselves for our journeys. Now, as a church, we're going through our Shrove Tuesday preparing, and we're getting some of our Lenten devotional elements there, and we're having our prayer vigil and our Ash Wednesday service. But even now, would you agree that when we're going about our life of discipleship, that we can't ever really start a spiritual practice too early? Would you agree that it's a great thing to start preparing ourselves now for that journey that we're about to have? And this is that moment when I'd like to remind us before we read these verses of Scripture together today, that this was very early in the journey. And a lot of translations will transpose disciples for they. Because in this descriptor sometimes, they weren't really disciples yet. It was early in the call, and sometimes they were just called they because they really weren't learning much yet, right? They were just called into doing this, and they were following Jesus around because he asked them to, but they weren't really students yet, right? They weren't really put out into ministry yet. They were kind of his entourage, and he was hoping to teach them, but oftentimes early in these stories, these early parables, early in ministry, sometimes the disciples would get referred to as they, because they haven't really taken that mantle and understanding. It's not like this was dictation right alongside. This was written in hindsight. So can we take a look at Mark 4, verses 35 through 41? Mark 4, 35 through 41. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side," verse 36. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them, just as he was in the boat. And the other boats were with them. And a great storm arose, and the waves beat against the boat, so that the boat was already filling and taking on water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish, if we die?" Verse 39 is Jesus' response. He awoke, and he rebuked the wind. He said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind then ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And finally, in verse 41, they were filled with awe, and they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea would obey him?" So you can see it's proper in this moment that we remember this is still early in things, right? This isn't the walk to Jerusalem. So they're saying, who is this, right? They're asking amongst themselves, who is this? Because they haven't begun to understand. Can we understand that sometimes in Matthew's gospel account, we often see him again writing in hindsight and telling us the stories that he's giving great reference for who Jesus is. But Mark is coming very humbly and understanding that the disciples that were walking at this moment experienced this. They weren't really disciples yet. They were still kind of learning, right? They weren't prepared yet. They didn't understand because, understand, they didn't say master. They didn't say Lord. They didn't say Savior, right? All those things that we show with Jesus, they said teacher, which is fine. But wouldn't we understand that sometimes even Pharisees and teachers of the law, those who didn't like Jesus, respected what he might have to say as a prophet or again, a teacher, but wouldn't even those that opposed Jesus call him teacher? Right, that didn't really know him, that didn't know him or acknowledge him as Master, Lord, and Savior. So here in this text, we see early on that Jesus is still revealing himself, that they wake him up and they say, teacher, not yet accepting or understanding that Jesus is the Savior of this world, that Jesus is their Master, calling him into this unknown world. And so at the end, they say, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey them? Because understanding, this picks up and takes place after several parables have been expounded upon, and Jesus has already been on this journey. But it says later that day. So this wasn't Jesus' first thing. It was late in the day of a busy day of work. They were probably overwhelmed with things that have happened. I think, could we picture that for just a moment? How many of us have ever had a busy day where we just kind of want to go to sleep early, take a nap, relax, get in the lazy boy because it was a day full of events and we find ourselves just a little exhausted in the evening? So we see Jesus understanding. Jesus wants to take a nap, wants to take a rest, right? Jesus has had a full day already, so he asks his disciples, you know, to carry, take us across the boat or across the sea. So it's in this moment, I would like us to remember in the context of Mark, because it's so short, and I'm going to flip forward here. I lost my bookmark on the way here, so bear with me for just a moment. At the very end of Mark, it's interesting where it leaves us. The end of Mark ends with chapter 16, and this is the last couple of verses. The angel says to them when the ladies arrived at the tomb, do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He was risen. He is not there. See to the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. Verse 8. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. And they were afraid and said nothing to no one as they left that day. Let me read verse 8 one more time. And they went out and fled the tomb, for trembling, fear, awe and astonishment had come upon them. They then said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So again, just bookmark and note that they were talking about fear, awe, and trembling. But that's where Mark stops. Mark stops and leaves us with that moment of what's the next part of the journey? What's that next part of encountering Christ? And so it's interesting when we take a look at Mark's narrative here that we see there are very specific things here that Mark does that points us towards the resurrection of Christ. It says here that when they cried out to him, teacher, do you not care if we perish? What's another word for perish? P-E, not P-A. Death. Do you not care if we waste away, if we go away, if we're destroyed, if we perish? Understand, the boat was taking on water, and in a storm, right, there are other elements there. Maybe sometimes it doesn't say, but we, you know, can sometimes often imagine that there was a crazy storm on the sea. There would probably be some lightning and things like that. It was darkness. There was evening. They were probably fatigued from the day. But they woke him and said, teacher, do you not care if we perish or if we die? And then it says what Jesus' response was, right? Because Jesus was asleep. It says in verse 39, he awoke, he arose, and he rebuked the wind. Let's take that back in the light of living in the resurrection as resurrection people and preparing our Lent season that ultimately culminates in Resurrection Sunday and Easter. We are resurrection people. We are Easter people. So we read these stories, these contexts, the accounts, because we read through it knowing that that's not the end. What are we to learn from this? But understand, it says, do you not care if we perish? Don't you care, Jesus, if we die? Don't you care if we take on more water? What will happen? I've never owned a boat. I've been in a few boats before, none of which have ever really taken on water, unless you count a kayak, but it just, even if you're kind of a novice to the whole boat thing, doesn't it kind of make sense that you can only have so much water come in the boat before eventually something unpleasant's going to happen? I mean, you know, and it just doesn't take much to really understand that's what's going to happen. And so when they get to a point of understanding, this isn't going to let up. This isn't going to stop. We are going to be destroyed. We will perish if something doesn't change. And I would like us to think about this moment because through several translations and other parts in Scripture, the people refer to those that have died and that are faithful. They simply say that they're asleep. We hear that phrasing throughout the New Testament, that when someone dies, they're simply asleep, an eternal sleep. Let's look at this in the context of understanding. This is the language they used. Jesus was asleep. And then when they came and called to him and cried out to him, "Do you not care if we die?" He arose and rebuked the wind, saying, "Peace, be still." Now, the title of the message today is Calm, because when we see the Greek translation of peace, it can often mean quiet, right? Maybe that's where that phrase comes in, give me some peace and quiet. Don't they kind of go together? How many times have you really been at peace with yourself? There's been a whole bunch of racket, there's been a noise, there's been a distraction, there's been a storm, right? Peace and quiet. So if we look at this in the light of where we're going in our Lenten journey and we look at the resurrection of Christ, we could say for a time, when they removed Jesus' body from the cross, he was dead. He was asleep. And the whole reason God sent his only son was because the wages of sin is death. There's nothing we can do to avoid that. That we as humankind are flawed in that sin nature, and so we inherit that death that sin brings. And so when humankind and all of creation cried out, "God, do you really want us to perish? Do you want this to be the end of us?" As a society, as humankind, as nature, we are taking on water. The sin will continue. Where is our hope to be found? And it says that when they cried out and said, "Do you not care if we die?" Jesus then did what? Jesus arose. In the boat. When the darkest hour of humanity was before us, what are we going to do now? Because Jesus is dead, Jesus is asleep. Easter came. Resurrection Day came. And just like in this account, Jesus arose. And he finally banished the penalty of sin by his resurrection. So while Mark doesn't go into what that is, we can see this reading here, that he calls out to death and destruction. When they are afraid of the sea, when they are afraid of the water, he says, "Peace, be still." Death will still come for us, my friends. Sadness and grief will still be here. Loneliness will still be here. But it no longer has the final word. It no longer lasts forever. There's an eternity with eternal life that is brought only by Christ's resurrection and victory over death. But then Jesus says to them when he's finished, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" But of course they said to themselves, "Who is this that even the sea obey him?" Do you remember what that was like today? And I hope that if we're struggling through this today, as I recognize many of your faces, or maybe you're listening along on the radio, that doesn't this reflect what it's like when we first start to understand a little bit about who Jesus is? When we start to meet this Christ figure where we've been introduced as a child or in life as an adult, it's a lot to wrap our head around, isn't it? There's so many questions. There's so many things that need explaining. There's so much understanding, right? And that's good. But do we often ask ourselves early in our faith or during some seasons of our faith journey, who is this Jesus that would love us so unconditionally? Why would Jesus have died for me? Why would, you know, God love me so much unconditionally? Because I'm kind of a schmuck, right? Or I don't get it. Or I've walked away so many times, right? God is the God of second chances. But so often when we're new to faith or rediscovering our faith or having a time of struggle, we can ask ourselves that same question. Who is this? Who is this that Jesus looks past every single thing that we've done when we come to him? And Jesus covers all of our sin and wipes away that penalty of death. You know, it's interesting, too, because when we're looking at this, does it seem odd that all this was going on and Jesus was sleeping during this moment? Now, I understand that sometimes, and we even possess a little speaker like this, sometimes nowadays is it uncommon for us to buy a device that is it okay to buy a device that mimics the sound of a storm? Because somehow that's calming to us, right? Not when we're living in it, not when we're on a boat in it, but just hearing it, right? Sometimes it brings us that peace and calm. And we have one of those too. So I find that unique that in this moment, when it was really happening, it brings about this awe and this fear and this trembling. Yet sometimes we buy that very same thing where it's nice and safe in our house, but we want to hear the storm to be relaxed. But I also think in this moment, if any of you have ever been camping in the winter when it's cold, some similar to this, when you tuck your head underneath that sleeping bag, it's not really cold out until you open up that sleeping bag, right? So you kind of create this cocoon moment where it doesn't say Jesus wasn't covered up. It doesn't say that he didn't have anything over him that he was, because I can't imagine how he would stay asleep getting wet. But we don't know that. We don't know what circumstance that was in. But I don't want us to get lost in this, because I think to myself, how could this be going on so much so that they were gathering water, that Jesus was sleeping, and they were the ones that had to wake him up with their cries? But before we go back to that, I want to thank to all of us out here, because most of our faces, I can recognize our situations, that there have been children at some point in your lives. Some of you, whether it's parents, aunts and uncles, grandparents, adoptive authority figures in kids' lives. One of the things, if you've ever been around an infant, a newborn, it never really goes away, but it's so magnified when they can't do for themselves, is when a baby cries out through a monitor or down the hall, and they cry out in the middle of the night, right? And there's like, isn't there that panic? That same kind of panic that, like, maybe when you're about to get in a car accident or something happens, you know, there's just that, you want to know what's going on, right? Are they hurt? Are they hungry? Is it something? You know, and some of us wait for our spouses to do it, you know, but we still have that moment of, wake up and go see what's going on with so-and-so. But there's that moment when the baby cries out that it sparks us and we're called to respond. Can we look at that precious moment and that scenario in just this, that Jesus was asleep. Asleep enough so that he didn't wake up during the storm. Yet his children cried out. Cried out in a desperate moment. Because they could not do for themselves. My dear friends, what did Jesus do when those that he loved cried out for him because they couldn't do for themselves? He showed his majesty. He showed his power. And he took away what we had to fear. He took everything that we had, every concern, and just said, shh, my voice is enough. My voice is enough to have your fears be still. My dear friends, when we find ourselves, hopefully this morning, not the they, but as disciples, right? Not the they who have encountered Jesus and are sort of following along, not really understanding, but as disciples who get it, who have accepted that grace, who understand that there's a boundless love that comes from Christ. As we find ourselves disciples, we are capable and we are gifted, but we cannot do this alone. We can't live this life apart from Christ. Are we willing to cry out as an infant does when they don't know any better? They can't do for themselves. As capable as we are, as gifted as we are, would you be willing to submit ourselves, especially as we prepare for this season in Lent, as we walk together for weeks together, preparing for the resurrection? Our time as a church, right? As we prepare for this time, would we humble ourselves and cry out, Jesus, do you not care if I perish? Jesus, do you not care if I'm going in the wrong direction and it leads to destruction? Lord Jesus, would you help me not take on any more water because I can't do this on my own? I can't navigate my life or my family's life on my own. Would we be willing to humble ourselves, knowing that we really can't do for ourselves, and cry out to Jesus, expecting that same Lord and Savior to walk beside us and calm whatever's distracting us, whatever we would fear or seek to hurt us. Whether it's the darkness or the unknown, my dear friends, I would ask that the one thing that would show that we have submitted our lives to Christ would be if we simply and humbly call out to Jesus in need. Would you help us with our steps today? Would we be faithful to trust Jesus for our steps tomorrow? Would we be faithful to share the good news of Christ's resurrection with those that might only know Jesus is a great teacher, a great philosopher, that Jesus had some good points? Jesus was so much more than that. Jesus was not just a teacher. He was our Savior. And when we accept Christ, we are more than just they. We are disciples. That's who we are called to be. I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward today as we prepare to respond to the Lord's reign in our lives, to give our tithes and offerings of the blessings that we've already received, as we thank God for them and trust Him for our future. Ask our ushers to come forward, please. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for the faithfulness in which these gifts have been received. Lord, we thank you for the hearts that bring them forward, Lord, and trust you with their tithings and their stewardship. Lord, we ask that your blessings would go amongst them, that they would be multiplied, that they would fulfill all ends of your vision for this ministry. Lord, bless the houses from which they came. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. All right, let us sing together, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Number 348, Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling. Jesus, will you show me your presence? Jesus, will you calm the things that seek to distract and cause fear around me? And will you give me hope, following you, moving onward? Lord, we ask these things with the blessing of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello. Dear members and friends of Sandusky United Methodist Church, as chairman of the staff parish relations committee of this church, I have the responsibility to announce the appointment of Reverend Matthew Osborne to the Wesleyan United Methodist Church in Ishpeming, Michigan, and that will be effective July 1st of 2018. This appointment has been made by our Bishop, David Baird, in consultation with the Cabinet of the Michigan area. The decision to appoint Reverend Matt to Wesleyan United Methodist Church occurred after consideration, prayer, discussion, and discernment. Reverend Osborne has agreed to accept his new appointment. In this coming weeks and months, we will have the opportunity to express our appreciation for Matt Osborne's ministry in our midst. There will be a time to say goodbye. There will be time to begin planning and welcome for a new person whom God will send to become our next pastor. As United Methodists, we affirm with faithful understanding that we, the church and the body of Christ, it is Christ's sustaining spirit that will guide us in these days ahead. We will trust and rely on Christ's presence and grace during this time in transition. The Michigan Area Cabinet has already been meeting with Bishop Bard and will soon be discussing the appointment of a new pastor. Please be in prayer with them and also for the Osbornes, as their family prepares to follow Christ in their new ministry ahead. In Christ's service, amen.